That music means it is a Tech Tuesday, and it's pretty exciting. I love the world of technology. I love going on CNET at CNET.com. Bill is sometimes resistant to technology, but Bridget, we have found a story that has excited Bill completely. Mm-hmm. It's a robot who can make 300 pizzas in an hour.
I love when technology and my stomach can come together.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's this company in Seattle. They're called Picnic, and they have this series of robots that are making 300 12-inch pizzas in an hour. Now, when you're thinking a robot making pizza, no, this is not a humanoid robot tossing pizzas in the air. This is a conveyor belt. And as it goes down the belt, the first robot is squirting dollops of sauce, and the next is sprinkling the cheese and the pepperoni and that kind of thing. And it's able to process all these online orders as it goes to keep track of it all. There's a video online. It shows it's being very generous with the toppings. But that said, you know, like if it's kind of fascinating to see, like, well, now that they made the robot, who's going to use this technology to pump out fast pizzas?
And what else could they use it for? They couldn't use it at a, like, sandwich-making place, because that you have to actually grab ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think what other things they can use it for.
Well, if you have enough machines, I mean, one machine ideally is one ingredient. So it's kind of expensive, right? Like, how many choices do you have on a pizza? I mean, if someone wants anchovies, that one robot doesn't get much love. But when it does, you know, it's going to give you anchovies. You know, it's like the way it's set up is like one big box. It looks like a giant old school printer. So like one big printer box, essentially, for every topping. So that's why pizzas make sense, right? Like it's all circles. That's the same on the dough. And it, I did not see a machine making the dough, right?
Oh,
so I don't know. I don't know how, if that was pre-done. Like these are questions that are integral into like understanding this. When we go to our consumer electronics show every year, there's always some food making robot. I've seen bread making robots. That was a big buzz last year. So I don't know what kind of food technology is going to change, you know, but everyone wants to change the pizza. They want to deliver the pizza by drone. They want to deliver the pizza by rolling robots or in the air. It's always the pizza that gets the tech.
Bridget, my family can't eat 300 pizzas. Is there a setting that if I only want one or two, if I want it for home use, can I pull that off or not? Does it only make 300?
I want to hydrate a pizza, like in Back to the Future.
Right.
Can we do that?
Let's do that.
You know, in my little brain, and I will specify the word little, I was envisioning Rosie from the Jetsons
just making
a pizza for me whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's the future.
So I'm a little disappointed. All right, PlayStation 5. This is the fifth one. I didn't even realize what we're up to.
Mm-hmm.
It's really happening now, huh?
The original came out in 1994. Feeling old there.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're on 5. So Sony announced, yes, 5 is coming, but not this year. It's next holiday, so 2020.
What will 5 do that 4 doesn't do?
Well, they're always going to give us more details as time goes on, but so far what we know is you get the standard stuff, your better graphics, but what's interesting is how it stores the data of a game so you can boot it faster. So it's speed in the way that they're loading it on the back end. Like, let's say you want to play a game and there's a multiplayer version and just the single player version. Well, maybe you don't have to have that whole giant block of data on the machine taking up a lot of space if you're only going to play the single player version. So you can just download, like, a piece of it, essentially. And that way, the machine's faster because it's not bogged down by so much stuff. And it can also has more room for your other games, and you can delete as you go. So it's about thinking about data storage differently. It's about better graphics. And the controller had an interesting tidbit about it. Right now, when you're doing something, it kind of rumbles when there's an action happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be more refined, more nuanced with the vibration. So if you're pulling the string of a bow in the video game, maybe you'll feel that a little differently than the recoil of a gun when there's other action. So that kind of little nuance can make gameplay a little more fun.
A couple years ago, Sony tried for their PlayStation 4 to incorporate virtual reality. It wasn't a huge hit, and they've kind of given up on it. Will they revisit it for PlayStation 5 or not?
I think everyone's looking to that question because in the space of VR, we're all going, okay, where are we going next? Right now, the leader is Facebook's Oculus, right? Like, they're the ones who keep pushing that there's more to be done. And there's another company, HTC, they have a headset. But truly, what I think the real boundary pushing in VR is experiences that are outside of the home. There's this company called The Void. They have these entertainment centers popping up at malls all across the nation where you would go, spend $30, have a 15, 30-minute experience running around in VR. And I got to tell you, if you haven't done it, it's pretty awesome. It's the best VR out there. But are you spending like $300, $400 for a system at home? Or are you going to have a time with your friends at the mall and have fun just dipping into VR? I think that's where the future might be in this space.
All right. Our show is on Instagram. Bill, you're not personally on Instagram. I am. Yeah. I like to keep up with people and post things when I can. But you can't really creep anymore. How are they going to stop this, Bridget?
Well, there used to be this area where you could see all the activity being done by the people you follow. So, you know, Bill liked these specific photos, and Wendy, you know, is following, you know, this specific group. And so you can kind of, like, be a weirdo and stalk people and say, like, ooh, what are they doing? You also could see what public figures were liking, like Ivanka Trump. She was following all these Ivanka fan accounts, and you could see it in real time whenever she liked something, you know. So, like, the people were kind of teasing about, like, what people were liking and not liking, and they just got rid of it. So now you can't be a little creep and look at it, what everyone's doing. And you can also feel free to like whatever you want without judgment, too. So it goes both ways, right?
Would this change your
Instagram,
habits
like,
at all, Wendy?
No, I still creep on Facebook. That's when I creep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she's Bridget Carey. You can follow her on Instagram. Do not creep her at Bridget Happens on Twitter at Bridget Carey. And you can also find her at CNET.com. Totally appreciate it, Bridget. Happy Tech Tuesday to you.
Happy Tech Tuesday.
Bye, Bridget.
Next week.
Very quickly, for people who don't understand what exactly creeping is, because I think I know, but I'm not 100% sure, it means you're visiting somebody's page, you're looking at their stuff, but you're not commenting or anything. You're just kind of like
business
spying
as usual
on them, right?
Well, you're just checking out like what their kids look like. And
that's normal.
Oh, like you've never done it.
Why don't you just look through their drapes?
If it was closer, I would. This makes it a little easier.
Right.
News coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, 720 WGN.